season you're in, and then you know how to act.
Right.
Amen.
Right? I mean, you're a teenager, you should act one way, but if you're in your 30s, you should act a different way. Right?
Right. Okay.
Amen? Yeah. You should just act a different way. You know, I mean, you should act differently and dress differently in the summer than you do in the winter.
Yeah.
You know, depending on where you live, you know, I mean, if you live on the East Coast especially, walking around in the summer and you still got on your fur coat, thinking you're styling. Yeah, letting people know the elevator's not going all the way up to the top floor. Something wrong. You know? So it's always good to know where we are, amen. And so we're you know, now entering into, it's still summer. Right?
Right.
It's still the summer. That's why, you know, people don't end the summer sale. No, there's good kids going back to school. Don't mean summer, no. I still got some. See, I've been working all summer. I'm working now. Ain't nothing changed for me. It's still summer. Now, for kids, they define summer by being out of school. Okay, for you, summer's over. But it's not over for me. So I'm not sad. Oh, don't you say summer's over? Who says summer's over? Christian, when is the last day? What's the first day of fall?
I don't know.
Wait, no, you should come.
September 21st. It's September 22nd.
Well, you waited so long. We're going to be there before long. I don't Okay, so September 22nd. So today is September 3rd.
Yep.
I still got 3 weeks.
I know that's right.
There's summer left.
I know that's right. Yep.
Kids, your summer's over.
Sorry.
Amen. But it's good to know where we are, amen, and what season we're in, amen. And I got to tell you, just this morning I was praying, and God just said, I heard him say, it's harvest time.
All right.
I heard him. And I went to the gym later on in the morning, and I'm coming back, and I heard him say, yeah, it's harvest time. And then he said, everywhere you look, you're going to be able to pick the fruit. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Everywhere I look, I'm going to be able to pick fruit. And I don't think he's just speaking to me either. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's harvest time. Everywhere we look, picking fruit. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we praise God for knowing what time it is. Amen.
Amen.
And so now it's time for our Bible study. We're in lesson number 10. We are still studying Moses. We're coming to the end of the study of Moses as one of the premier leaders of God, amen. Man of God led God's people out of Egyptian bondage, amen. And we've been learning a lot about him, but also about the people, amen. The last 3 or 4 lessons we've had, the people have been just a complaining, right? They want meat, they want to go back to Egypt, they can't go into the promised land because they're too small,
right?
Mm-hmm. And they just were complaining and complaining. And God let us know he doesn't like complaining. Amen. He takes it personally when we complain as his people. Amen. Probably the same way as parents would take it a little bit personally if all their kids walk around the house complaining about everything. Complaining about the house, complaining about the furniture, complaining about the television, complaining about the food. You know, and as a parent, you're doing your best to provide. Mm-hmm. You ain't gonna listen to so much of that.
Right.
You know? But here we are, we're God's children. And he provides for us. So how much complaining you think he's gonna put up with from us?
Yeah.
And he does a lot better job as a parent than we do.
Oh, yeah.
And so he makes sure, he lets his children know that he doesn't appreciate that, he takes it personally. And that's something that we learn and say, realize that, okay, we have to check the complaints at the door, amen. But now we're moving into the lesson number 10 tonight. It's called Valley Floor, and it's Moses' speaking to the people, if he now knows he's going to be leaving them soon, and he's reminding them of some things and helping to reaffirm some things for God's people. And so we want to look at the scriptures tonight, and we'll get as far as we can get, and we believe the Lord will speak something to us that we need. I need to hear something. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. If I didn't, I would just stay on home.
Right?
Right? Yeah. Amen. All right, so let's look at this, amen. We're going to pray, and then we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 24, and then we'll get into discussion. And, well, we'll go where the Lord leads us tonight. Amen. We're just going to follow Him wherever He leads. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, to You we give praise. To You we give honor. To You we give glory, because You alone are worthy. And Father, now that we're here, we're praying that Your Spirit will open up these scriptures unto us, O God, as we apply our heart to understanding, God. We're believing that You will fill us with wisdom, that You will give us insight, that You will give us something that we need on tonight. Father, may You bless everyone in here, O God, from the youngest to the oldest. Father, bless us, O God, with that which we need. And Father God, we are coming seeking Your face. And we believe, God, that we shall not be disappointed, that our hope shall be fulfilled. And so, Father God, we just set our sights on You right now. We look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Help us to understand and to walk in the revelation that You shall give us tonight.
Yeah.
We give You praise for it all by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's look at scriptures first. Amen. And then we'll look at our lesson. And it's Deuteronomy chapter 4. And it's verse 5 through 24. Let's just look at it together. It says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me." This is Moses speaking. "That ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Therefore, keep and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, unless they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And He declared unto you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and He wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God has divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto Him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and sware that I should not go over Jordan, that I should not go in unto that good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Amen. All right, so let's look at our background, and we'll get into some questions. It says that Israel is finally poised to enter the promised land after 40 years in the desert. Now, let's 40 years in the desert. 40 years. Now, some of us here, well, the vast majority of us here tonight, aren't even 40 years old. So, the vast majority of us here can't even imagine what 40 years in the desert is, because you really don't know what 40 years feels like. Period. But no matter, if you're close to 40 or if you're far away from 40, you can at least imagine how long 40 must feel like. But it's not just 40. It's 40 years in the desert. Wow. I mean, that's a long time to be in the desert. God tests his people, doesn't he? He's going to put you through a test.
Yeah.
We praise God under the new covenant of Jesus Christ, amen, that the test, more than likely, we hope, is not going to be 40 years in the desert.
Yeah.
But God will yet test us. And he tested the people, because even in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says, the reason why I kept you in the desert 40 years was to test you. Gave you manna from heaven. Same thing every day. Saw too that their shoes and their clothes didn't wear out.
Yeah.
That was miraculous. They walked around the desert 40 years, and the Bible says their shoes didn't wear out and their feet didn't swell. So that means they had the same wardrobe for 40 years. And here we got kids, just because they get out of school in June, go back to school in September, then they need new clothes. Right? Remember that when you used to get new clothes for school? Most of us, if I didn't get new clothes, a lot of kids are like this. If you didn't get new clothes, in fact, put it this way, getting new clothes was the thing that made going back to school exciting.
Because
you wanted to show off your new clothes. Your sneakers, your jeans, and this and that, you know. And I don't know, when you had like five new outfits, six new outfits, seven new outfits, okay, but after that, it's like, okay, so we're back in school. But you know, showing your stuff. So we like to get, we like to refurbish our wardrobe. 40 years wearing the same thing. 40 years eating the same thing. 40 years seeing the same. Don't tell me that's not a test. Amen. He tested them. So they were 40 years in the desert, but now, because God is faithful, they are poised to enter the promised land. Why? Because God made a promise. And we may have to wait, but we know one thing. On the other end of our waiting is fulfillment of the promise.
Amen.
And so now they're poised to enter the promised land. Now, while there must have been a great deal of anticipation, there must also have been anxieties and concerns. Why? Because Moses, the only leader the nation had ever known, was preparing to lead them. He knew God, he knew the law, and he always seemed to know what to do. Both Moses and the nation needed reaffirmation and reassurance. It's good, isn't it, to have someone around who seems, I'm talking about a person now, a human being, who seems to always know what to do. What does that do for us? When you have someone around you who always seems to know what to do, what does that do for us? What does that do for you?
It's comforting.
It's comforting.
Right, comfort. You know, like assurance that everything's going to be okay. It just gives you some kind of
Yeah. Confidence. Confidence. So you said, what did you say? Comforting and confidence, right? You know, to know that there's someone that, you know, is there to chart the course. And even if, you know, we are going the wrong way or doing something wrong, they'll make it right. Someone you can go to with a question. You know what I mean? Those type of things can lead to, you can have more confidence because you sort of know that you have, you know, someone behind you who's going to make sure things don't get too out of hand. So imagine how the people must feel that they know now Moses isn't going to go over with them to the promised land. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, yeah, we're going into our future. We're going into what God promised us. But the leader that we've known for the last 40 years is not going with us. Might be a little bit of anxiety there. Even though Joshua has been anointed to come up and take Moses' place, still, you don't know. You know, you don't know how Joshua is going to be. So there's some apprehension here, some hesitation probably.
Of course, they tried to get rid of Moses a few times.
Oh yeah, well, you know, that's the leader's testimony. At some point, a leader is always going to be unappreciated, if not outright despised. Because as much as people know they need a leader, There's almost like a love-hate relationship.
Mm-hmm. They don't like you.
Right. They don't like you. Yeah. Right. It's like, okay, or they do like you as long as...
You don't make them do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. You do what they want you to do. You know, let me slide or yeah. Do what I want. Yeah, agree with me.
Yeah.
Give me some quail. Give me this, give me that. The leader's fine. But when the leader has to put his foot down, when the leader has to put her foot down, all of a sudden now there's an issue. But here's the thing about us as fallen, in our fallen nature. We all want to be the boss. Our fallen nature doesn't want to listen. Our fallen nature is rebellious. Right? Think about it. That's what led to Adam and his wife eating of the fruit. It was that rebellion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. God told them, don't eat the fruit. I mean, rebellion. And now it's in our fallen nature.
Yeah.
That's why we don't want to listen.
No.
That's why kids have to, one of the greatest challenges of parenthood is teaching that little that little tender, precious baby that comes home, you know, when they go, and then that baby turns two. And they call it the terrible twos for a reason, right? Because that's when they learn the word no. And they use it repeatedly. And you have to begin to form that child and understand that you need to listen. But think about it. How are kids who are so small, where did they learn to be rebellious?
TV.
No, but even before. No, before TV. They don't even know anything about TV. It's in the DNA. To be contrary, right? Because it's in our spirit. We don't want to be told what to do. So being a leader is hard. So yeah, so Moses is leaving, but like you said, you know, they want to get rid of him a certain amount of time. But isn't that something? I don't know anybody who ever had a boss who didn't hope that the boss get fired. They need to replace him. They need to replace her. Or you wanted to get out from under that boss. I hope I get transferred to another department. Something about leadership. Leadership is a thankless job. Because the leader's going to get blamed when things aren't going well. But when things are going well, everybody wants the credit to go all the way around. Mm-hmm. We all contributed.
Yeah, right.
And that might be true, but you might have all contributed to the thing that was messed up last week, but nobody wants to take credit for that. Leadership, amen. It's not, it's a thankless job, amen. Let's look at this. The word Deuteronomy means the second law. And in this passage, Moses rehearses the Israelites' significant experiences. It repeats the Ten Commandments, or at least reminds them of it. Because God waited until an entire generation had passed away before he allowed the Israelites to enter the Promised Land, those Moses is speaking to would have been small children, or perhaps not even born, when Moses first received the Ten Commandments. All right, now, let's just... we're going to go as God leads us tonight. What words and phrases does Moses repeat? In this passage, amen, there are certain words that we see over and over again, or at least a few times. Let's look at verse number 9. You see how he starts off? He says, only take heed to thyself. First of all, when somebody tells you, take heed, what would we say today in English? Watch. Take heed.
Listen.
Yeah, listen. Pay attention. Take heed. Maybe doesn't. Maybe be careful.
Be careful, right?
You know what I mean? Take heed. Be careful. Pay attention. Listen. And look what it says in verse 9. It says, only take heed to thyself. Verse 15, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. In verse 23, take heed unto yourselves. So three times, Moses telling them, listen, pay attention, or be careful, right? He's telling them, he's emphasizing, right, that there's some things you need to pay attention. How many of you know it's so important to be able to pay attention?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Can I say this? I mean, how many people believe that there have been people who have literally, and this is not figure of speech, they have literally lost their lives because they didn't pay attention. Right? Literally lost their lives because they did not pay attention. It's a serious thing. It depends on where you are and what you're going through, but if you don't pay attention, I mean, there can be some really drastic consequences. And here, Moses is talking about how God has given his people instructions, and he's repeatedly telling them, pay attention. Amen? Listen. Be careful. Why? Because the word is so important, and God is true to his word, but God is also serious about his word.
Oh, yeah.
If God says something, he expects us to do it, to listen, to pay heed. Let's look what else in verse number 9. He says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Here's another phrase that we see at least a couple of times. Lest thou forget. We see it there, and we also see it in verse 23. Take heed unto thyself, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord. So not only pay attention, not only be careful, not only listen, but remember. Right? Remember. It's important to remember too, you know. It is. I hear a lot of people say they don't have a good memory. I'm talking about people who, I'm not talking about folks who maybe have suffered with some kind of mental affliction or anything like that, or even elderly people. I don't necessarily believe, by the way, that just because you get old, you should lose your memory. I understand that happens, but there are a lot of things that happen. Doesn't mean that that's God's best for our lives. But God has built us, we're extraordinary. When you think about sometimes we look at machinery and go, man, that's, look at that car. Joseph out there looking at a car today.
I was with him.
What car is that?
I don't know.
My girl.
Yeah, look at this car.
I was looking at that too.
What a machine. But I tell you what, there's nothing man can make that can even compare to the machine that's man and woman that God has made.
Yeah.
We are amazing. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. Nothing compares to us. Amen. And we are God created us to be just like finely tuned. But now we live in this world that is corrupt and it attacks us and it attacks us. But that's not God's best. And I know that, and so you think about our minds, and our minds are amazing. Mm-hmm. Think about the things you can remember.
Yeah.
And how far back. Think about the things you remember without even trying to.
Mm-hmm.
Mind is amazing. You understand, right? You can remember some things you didn't even try to remember. And like somebody will mention it to you, you go, oh yeah! But you weren't even purposing to remember. And then there are things that you do purpose to remember, that you actually memorize or something like that. And I tell you this, we talk about those of us who remember pre-cell phone, where you remembered everybody's phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't know anybody's phone number. You don't even know your own phone number.
In school, I think it was kindergarten. They used to make you
remember.
Memorize. You had to memorize your home phone number and the address.
And your address.
And your address.
You had to memorize these things.
You got a touch for it.
You made a point to memorize people's birthdays.
Yeah.
Now, you put it in your phone.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that.
With notification.
Yeah.
Remind me the day before. You see what we've done? We've taken the memory, the ability that we have, and we're putting it into the phone and calling the phone smart. But we are amazing. And so here he's saying, don't forget. And we have a great capacity to remember. And one of the things I think that we, who are still blessed to be in our right minds, we shouldn't confess over ourselves things like, I have a bad memory. No. The capacity, we don't even use hardly, what is that?
10%.
10%?
Yeah, it says 10%.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how they know that, but let's just take it to be true, right? That we only use 10%. But here's the thing, we have an amazing capacity to remember. Right? And so when we learn something, when we hear the word of God, don't let them try to say, oh, you can't memorize scripture. Yes, you can. And you can remember the word, you can remember what you're told, and you can remember what someone told you, you can remember what you saw.
Yeah.
Right? And certainly the things that are important, the things that God said, I can remember that. Right? Some people, man, they memorize lines in a movie. You ever meet somebody who can tell you and they go through the lines of a movie?
Yeah. I think you know
the time. Right? Think about all the songs, we have an amazing memory. But here's the thing. Let's use that memory that we have to don't forget what God said.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Don't forget what God said. Amen. Okay, let's look at one other word that he said over and over again. And again, we're going to go back to verse number 9. Take heed, keep thou soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. He used the word teach. Verse number 10, toward the end, he says, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. In verse 14, and the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments. So we see repeatedly here, right, the word teach. God is big on teaching. He's big on having teachers, right? Because he's, right? Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, right? That's the fivefold ministry, right, to build up the church. Teaching is a part of it. Sunday school teaching, Bible study teaching, but even parents teaching of their children.
Yeah.
Right? So teach them these statutes. Teach them as you walk. Teach them as you get up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
teach them. God wants us to teach. Right? We need teachers. And we need students who turn into teachers.
Yes.
Right? Because teaching is so important. Think about all the things that you were taught. Yes. Things you know now. But somebody taught you. Somebody taught you how to cross the street.
Yes.
Somebody taught you how to say thank you and please. That song on some commercial. I like arithmetic and ABCs. I hate arithmetic and ABCs. I hate washing my elbows and my knees. I hate saying thank you and please. But most of all, I hate peace. You remember that? You remember?
Sorry,
I can remember! But the kid, he was singing how he hated peace, but one thing he said, I hate saying thank you and please. Because nobody taught him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But somebody, didn't your mother teach you? What did you say?
Thank you.
Please. Somebody gave you something? What did you say? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Right.
It's important that we're taught things. It's important that we're taught manners. That's one of the things that I think is one of the downfalls of our current society right now. People being rude, people being uncivil, people being inconsiderate. But when we were growing up, we were taught.
Yes.
You know, kids now walk in and adults are talking, and first of all, they do a couple of things. They interrupt.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, you try that when you were a kid? When I was coming up? They tell you, don't you see grown folks talking? Oh, am I telling the truth, brother?
Amen.
There's no way you can get away with that. If you were in a conversation, the kid come in, mommy, no, you didn't do that. They stand there talking, they would totally ignore you.
Yeah.
And when they were finished, they go, what do you want? Because you knew you both were waiting. Yeah. Your shoes could be on fire. You had to wait. You didn't interrupt. Let your mother be on the phone and you come in there, mommy! Oh! She would shoot you a look and pin you to the wall, Jack. But these were things that we had that we were taught. We were taught you don't interrupt conversation, you wait until someone is finished, you knock before you come in. Oh, I don't know how many times I walk in my parents' room, they tell me, go back out. Mm-hmm. Knock before you come in. We have to be taught these things. Amen? We need teachers. And it's up to us to teach children. It's up to us to teach the next generation. When I say children, not just your own.
Right.
And one of the best ways to teach is through example. Amen. Live out what you believe. Right? But we need teachers. And here it says, teach them. Teach them what? Teach them the word. We need people to teach us the word of God. Right? So these words Moses repeats over and over and over. Now in verses 4 to 8, it talks about here some of the benefits of observing God's decrees and laws. Now we're just going to look at verses, well, let's look at 5 to 8. What does it say here? Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? So what are some of the benefits of observing, according to these verses, of observing God's laws?
Wisdom.
I'm sorry?
Wisdom and understanding.
Yeah, that the people would have wisdom and understanding because they obey the laws of God. Now, do you feel that way today? In terms of obeying the word of God, that you have wisdom and understanding as a result of that?
Yeah.
Do you feel you're better off than people who don't know God?
Yeah.
We should, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, something is not right. If we know God, and there are other people, other nations who don't know God, and we're on equal footing with them, something's wrong. And since there's nothing wrong with God, come on, something must be wrong with what we're doing. But don't you believe that knowing the God of all creation should give you a leg up on the competition? Man, maybe 3, 4, 5. I don't know. We could be like LeBron James. Not one, not two, not three. Right? We should have, we should be, right?
Yeah.
And don't you know that's God's will for our lives? We're in this world, we're not of this world. Right? We're rulers and kings and priests. We're the head and not the tail. We're above only and not beneath. Why? Because we know God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Greater is he who is within us than he that is within the world. God has created us as his people to have advantage.
Yeah.
Now, somebody might say, that's not fair. But like T.D. Jakes said, grace is not fair. That's why it's called favor. That's why it's called favor. God favors us. And here's the thing. Isn't it then foolish then when you have advantages and you have favor to squander that? And that's the thing that we have the purpose to live. That listen, I don't want to squander the favor that God has given me. We should have that really in our mind. God has by saving us and bringing us into his family, he's bestowed upon us advantages as we live in this world. Why give it away?
Right.
Paul said, I will not frustrate the grace of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so we have advantages. And so, yeah, there are some benefits to observing God's decrees and laws. Okay. Let's look at question 4. It says, what do God's laws and the fact that he gave laws to his people say about God?
He has rules.
Yeah, he has rules.
And discipline.
Huh?
Discipline.
Say again.
Discipline.
What about it?
That he's a disciplinarian.
Oh, that God is a disciplinarian?
Yeah.
Okay.
He likes order.
Yeah. That's right. God likes order. Mm-hmm. Right? The Bible even says he is not the author of confusion. Right? God likes order. Right? But he has laws and he gave them to his people. And I think the other thing too is that it shows that he's a personal God.
Yeah.
Because he wants to relate to people through his laws and the order that he sets up. You know, he wants to relate to his people and he's committed to them. Otherwise, he could just let us be on our own.
Yeah,
sure. But he sets up his laws. He sets up his standards. And then he says, live this way. He's committed to us. He's a personal God. Not like, you know, these impersonal things. That's why, you know, the making of the statues and the images and things of that nature, God said, don't do it. One of these days, we're going to look in the book of Isaiah, where God literally calls those who make idols dumb.
Can you say it like that?
Well, he actually says stupid. I'm being kind. Right? Because what he's saying is they can't help you.
Right.
He said, here you are making these things out of wood. And then when you want to, and then after you make it, you got to pick it up and bring it to where you need to go. How could that be a God? That's what he said. He said, how dumb can you be? It can't even move by itself. How's it going to help you? All right, let's look at the question number five. What are some problems within a community or nation caused by poor laws or the lack of them? You should think about whether it's a community, a nation, a household, a school, anywhere. If there's no laws, if there are no rules, what do you think results?
Chaos.
Yeah. You're going to have chaos.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say, Chris? Oh. Well, certainly, you're going to have chaos. I mean, it's going to be confusion.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have all kinds of things. Crime's going to probably be running rampant.
Well, if it's school, nobody's going to show up, so.
Well, if they do, they're going to destroy stuff.
Every day. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right? Corruption, I mean, you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Instability.
There's
going to be no stability. Right? You need to have some rule in place in order for there to be stability. You know, so whenever you have no rules, no standards, you know, that's why Super Nanny has a job now.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole bunch of parents who have no rules in their household.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Super Nanny has to come there.
You paid a whole lot of money.
Right. And what she trying to do? The first thing she's trying to do is establish some rules.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
The first thing is you need some rules. Kid eating good, you know, eating dinner 11:30 at night, watching television. 7 years old, got to go to school the next day. I don't want to go to bed. Don't talk to me like that. That's not how it went down in my house.
Nope.
Now it's coming up. My parents never, ever said something to me in a pleading tone.
I know, that's right.
Like they were trying and hoping that I would just cooperate. Never! There was no deals being cut.
But then you're allowed to live.
That's right, except being allowed to live. Bill God, I put you in this world. Amen. But rules, we need them, amen. We need them. All right. Question 6 is saying, how is Israel to keep God's commands alive and fresh in their hearts and minds? And it goes back to the words that we heard, to take heed, to remember, to do them, and all the rest of that. Now, it says, what help does your church provide for keeping the gift of God's instructions for living alive and fresh? What does the church do to keep God's word or to teach? What are some of the teaching things that churches do?
Bible study.
Bible study. Sunday school.
Sermons on the tape.
The other time,
Vacation Bible School.
Right? During the summer for kids. The other time, you remember, some of us may remember when, you know, when the kids used to line up in front of the church.
Yes.
And what happened?
Sorry.
Go ahead.
You know, the person. The person would come up and he would like ask you to say like a scripture or something.
Oh, well, I wasn't going to say that. Go ahead. What would happen?
That's what we did in my grandpa's church. They would call all the kids to the front and they'd all have to line up in front of the altar and they would have to say a scripture. And that was what my grandpa did as a pastor. And he, you know, led that and everything. But that's what he did.
Good.
Made them.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the scriptures you used to say?
I had one that I think was Jesus wept, and that was the meat. Scripture in the Bible. And my grandma was like, go up there.
I would hope you would remember that one.
I remember it because when I said it, grandpa was like, yes, he did. I was like, okay. I don't know what that means, but that was great. Because my grandma. She said that the one I had was too long or whatever, so she said,
that
just
one.
Don't say this. And I was like, okay. So we got there, and he's like,
I mean, even Ice Cube said that one in the movie. Yeah. Right, you remember that?
Yeah.
He tried to, Ice Cube, remember that one? Jesus wept. But no, what I was going to say was that they would have the young people stand up in front, and then the older, you know, the adults would be sitting there, and they would have them find the scripture. In other words, they would say
Bible drill.
Bible drill. Yeah, right. Bible drill.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 78. And then anyway, he had to be the first one to get there.
I remember that. Yep.
Obadiah chapter 1. Right? And so Bible do. But those things are good. Because they help you to know where the books are in the Bible. Right? I mean, and it's always good to know that. You know? It's always good to know that. So I remember Bible drill. So there's a lot of teaching things that can go on in the church that are helpful to help us remember God's word. And you know, when you think about it, there should be, we should think about the things that we can do, even just for ourselves or with others, to help make it, you know, keep that kind of, you know, keep it sharp.
Right.
You know? And especially for younger people, because most of them learn. And all of us, I think, we learn better when things are fun and interactive and enjoyable. You know what I mean? If something can be both, when you can enjoy and get fed at the same time, I think you retain more.
Right.
Right.
Right? That's why, look, I know we do, you know, we have our time when we can laugh, right? I think that's important so that people can sort of feel like, okay, you know, but then you're still going to get something, though.
Right.
Amen.
Because if you just sit up there and go, and then Jesus said, you know what I mean? Bueller, Bueller, Bueller. If that's what we did, people be sitting there going, oh my goodness, when is this going to be over? Let's look at question 8, then we're going to leave. It said, not only is Israel's God different because he's a covenant-making lawmaker, but also because he forbids the use of idols or the worship of nature. What would this command help the Israelites understand about the God they serve? Now, I just want to look at this, and then we'll leave after this. Let's look at verse 15 through 20. God says here, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thy eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldst be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. So, right now we see something here, right? When, if you go back and look in Exodus, when God came and spoke to the people on the side of the mountain, all these clouds, and even it says up here, it was in verse 11, it says, the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with the darkness, clouds, and just in case you missed it, thick darkness. Right? So this is how God came on the mountain. There were clouds, there was darkness, and then there was thick darkness, and fire, and smoke. And it says here in 15, verse 15, it said, you saw no manner of similitude that day. In other words, you didn't see any form or figure that day. God didn't let you see any form or figure. And it was so dark and so cloudy and so smoky that if you looked up, you couldn't see, you didn't see any birds. You didn't see no animals because he just created all this darkness. You couldn't see any fish if you looked in the water if you tried. Nothing. Couldn't see the stars, couldn't see the moon, couldn't see nothing. And you know what it says that he did that? Why did he do that? Why did God create all this darkness as he spoke to them?
So they would fear him.
Yeah, so that they would fear him. But as you see here, look what it says. Look what it says here. Lest you corrupt yourselves, verse 16. Lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image. He didn't want them to see anything. As he's talking to them for the first time, he didn't want them to see anything that they would then relate to him. Because imagine, the first time they hear him speak and they see a bird, they're going to go,
he must be a bird.
Yeah. This reminds me when God spoke to me. Let me make me a little Tweety bird. You know what I mean? So he didn't want them to see anything. He didn't let them see any form, any figure, nothing. Because he didn't want them to now make a graven image to see something that now they can relate back to him. And here's the thing. And know why he didn't want them to see? Because, see, anything that they could have saw, he made it. And he wasn't going to be equated with something that he made. So guess what? I'm not going to let you see anything. We're going to end here. I just want to say this. And you know, in the Bible, there's a... One of the festivals in the Bible is called New Moon Festival. There's a New Moon Festival in the Bible where, you know, you make sacrifices and the sins for the past month can be covered. You know, there's a Day of Atonement where they sin for the whole year, but the New Moon Festival, your sin for that past month can be covered. What's New Moon?
It's a...
Huh? What'd you say?
No moon in the sky. It's really dark.
Yeah. Now, watch this. God allows New Moon Festival, but he doesn't allow Crescent Moon, he doesn't allow Half Moon, and he doesn't allow Full Moon Festivals. Why?
It's dark.
Almost.
The darkness.
Almost. What's the New Moon again?
There's nothing in the sky.
So there's no in
there. See how God works?
Wow.
See, he allowed New Moon because there's no image to now start to worship. But see, if he starts allowing Crescent Moon, Half Moon, Full Moon, people going to start worshiping what?
The moon.
Jesus.
The moon.
You see? That's how God is. So sometimes we wonder, why God keep me from seeing something? Maybe because he don't want you to start focusing on that thing and worshiping that thing instead of him. Mm. Right? God wants the focus to be on him. And it's not because, at the end of the scripture, it talks about in verse 24, that God is a jealous God. Not jealous like you and I are jealous. You know what I mean? Husband jealous of you know, somebody else paying his wife or his girlfriend attention and all this. And he ain't better than me. Maybe he is. Maybe he is. But here's the thing about God. Nobody's better than God.
Amen.
So his jealousy is not like the way we're jealous. We can be jealous, and we, you know, but like, you ain't got no reason to be jealous, but you know what? You ain't even as good as him. But God doesn't want us getting to that point and focusing on things, especially the things he created. And so when he came in all this darkness, because he didn't want the people to get into trouble by starting to make graven images, by linking the things they saw to him and then making images after that. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so God wants us to be focused on him. Amen. So how are we going to do that? We're going to have to, right, pay heed. Right? Don't forget the things that we're taught. And then we need teachers. We can be a teacher. We can teach others. We can be taught. We got to have a teachable spirit. We got to be able to receive, right?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And as we do those things, amen, and we can follow these laws, we will be people that are different from everybody else.
Amen. That's right.
I was reading something as part of the study tonight, and it said this. It said you can go to a museum, and you can see what the Egyptians built. You can see what the Arabs built. You can see what all kinds of people of all kinds of nations have built. They said, but you know what? There's nowhere really where it shows you anything where the people of Israel built. Because what their legacy is not these buildings. Their legacy is living by a holy standard that God has set forth through his word. That's what God's people are known for. They ain't known for some big buildings.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So think about that. Wow. That's what we're known for. That's why I said all the other nations are going to know how special you are because of the wisdom and understanding that you have because of his word.
Wow.
That's what makes us different. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks. We just thank you, Lord, that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, you have made it that we may know you and be called your children.
Yes.
Father, we thank you, God, for making us your people and for setting us apart through your word and by your spirit. Father, may we pay heed, God. May we not forget. And may we teach and be taught the word of God, that we and the generations behind us, O God, can live according to your holy standard and be set apart to do great things in the earth. We lift you up, God, and you alone, O God. We worship you and no one else, no nothing else, O God, because you alone are worthy. And Father, we are forever thankful, O God, that you have forgiven us of our sins, you cleansed us from all unrighteousness, and God, you have given us your marvelous gift of salvation. Father, may this continue to be in our hearts, and may we live as your people in the earth, your representatives, ambassadors for Christ, where we can show forth your praise as the one who is our Father, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. Father, we give you praise tonight. We just thank you, Lord, for just bringing it to our remembrance, and Father, giving us the reassurance that if we live by your word, we shall live successful lives in this present world. And Father, we give you the praise and thanks for it in the name of Jesus. God, as we prepare to leave, we ask you to just light our pathway home. Guide us home safely one more time, God. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to do it. We thank you for the homes that you have provided unto us. And Father, most of all, we thank you for your abiding presence. Continue to abide with us. We'll continue to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with him.